Welcome to this Ash Wednesday service. Why are we here tonight? What is the point of Ash Wednesday? What is the point of Lent, for that matter? We come here to this service, and though while it's not required, most of us will receive ashes on our heads, a very visible sign of our mortality and penitence. And yet Jesus tells us not to display our piety before others. There seems to be a conflict. What do we do? How many times have we left church on Ash Wednesday? I remember when I was first going to church as a young adult, I really didn't know what to do. Do I wipe the cross off before I leave the building? What do you do? But of course, that's really not the issue. This day and our actions are more about what are about more than what others can see on our foreheads. Perhaps it is about more than what they can see on the surface and more what they see through our actions, in the world, because we take Ash Wednesday seriously. Jesus is rather clear. When we humble ourselves to be seen by others, we have already received the reward of that, meaning that pious action as an end in itself or for others' benefit, that's not what it's about. I will say this is much less of a problem in our time than it was in Jesus' time or Isaiah's time or even in the first half of the last century, in that we are not here tonight to be seen by others. We're not worried that if we don't go to an Ash Wednesday service, our neighbors will question our morality, right? It's really the exact opposite of that. It's almost like we're a little radical band of rebels who've gathered together to follow this person who shocked everyone, and we've come to dedicate ourselves to follow him. As a culture, those of us who do come to church come because we like to come to church. We like to worship God. We are strengthened to face the challenges of our lives and the world. When we're worshiping God, we feel strengthened, and being in each other's presence also strengthens us. The notion that this is a day of holy obligation. How many remember that phrase? A day of holy obligation, yes. For better or worse, that does not mean much in our culture anymore, or even in the culture of the Episcopal Church. For those who are very young, what that means is that you had to go to church on Ash Wednesday, a day of holy obligation, like Good Friday. On this day, and so why are we here? On this day, we come to acknowledge and confess that we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We don't always act like the people we know ourselves to be, our best selves, made in God's image. As well, we come to experience God's grace, to hear that God knows we are mortal and loves us, and to be with others who know that as well. God knows we are not perfect. God knows we are but dust. Dust, but God's dust. Beloved of God, who knows our limitations and has come to save us. We are penitent. We are here to repent, to turn around. We're here to turn from sin. Another word we don't use much in society. We see it all the time, right? But we don't use that word very much. So let's think about what that even means. Sin is that which distances us from God. There are a lot of people out there who might tell you you're doing something that's a sin, right? But we can know that it might be when we're feeling distant from God. Sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. It's distracting from God and who we are for God. But that being said, it's very, very important to say that God never turns away from us. Never. God never distances God's self from us. God does not want distance from us. God is always with us, loving us and calling us into closer and deeper relationship. This is so important to say because sometimes people feel that they have done something that is unforgivable. or so bad that God doesn't want anything to do with them. That is never true. God loves us all and forgives all. God always wants to be in relationship with us and is, even if we're not feeling it at the moment. Ash Wednesday helps us to live into God's love by being real about who we are. In our world that is focused on success, a world in which some would never dare admit a mistake, Ash Wednesday is a great gift to us. We can be real with God and we can be real with each other. And there is much grace to be found in being real. The prophet Isaiah had much to say about empty rituals and those who acted righteous but were not. Listening to Isaiah helps us to avoid a personal piety that is narrow and self-serving. As one commentator notes, clearly, the prophet's denunciation of a piety so rich in itself that it has become blind to the needs of others, as well as its own poverty, but blind to the needs of others, burns here in what Isaiah says with a relentless intensity. Isaiah is addressing the people of God living during a time of exile. They're worried. They're not feeling God. The people complain that they're fasting, but God does not seem to notice. In response to their complaint, we hear, "Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist." Religious rituals that fail to influence how we act outside of these walls are not doing what true religion and true spirituality are meant to do. God, through Isaiah, is very clear. Something is not working. They fast but continue to oppress their workers. As Thomas Curry states, "The danger of worship concerned only with one's own salvation is not its immorality or lack of authenticity, but its blindness." Its blindness. When we suffer from such idolatry, only the fast that God chooses is able to render the neighbor visible to us. Which causes me to ask, what is the fast that God requires? What is the fast that will help us be more the people of God in the world? Well, Isaiah gives us some clues. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your healing, do you hear that? All the connection, that we're all connected and our healing is based on how we're healing people for others in the world, people of healing. This period of Lent, which we enter today, gives us time to open up some space for God in our lives. Perhaps taking these first few days of Lent, or the whole time, but at least to start to pray about the fast that God calls us to, calls each of us to. Because again, that sort of religion that tells you exactly what you need to do is not going to work. It's not good enough. But to pray and to discern, what sort of fast is God calling you to? There are those classic sorts of thoughts about fasting that have to do with giving up food. And if that creates space where you're able to feel God more deeply, that's great. There could also be a sort of fast that might be a fast from something we spend money on, and perhaps we'd give that money to our food pantry or to the poor in some way. But the fast that God chooses is one that will be beneficial for us, our relationship with God, and how we are with others in the world. How will our repentance this day be manifest in the world? That's kind of an exciting thought. How will it be manifest? How will your light shine even brighter? When our fast helps us to bring justice and freedom to others, then it is, as Isaiah says, your light shall break forth like the dawn, your healing shall spring up quickly. I think of Grant Mansfield's sermon from this past Sunday, our guest preacher. He spoke of unveiling our faces for others to let our light shine forth. It can be scary to let that happen, to be so open and authentic and vulnerable. One way of finding that freedom, perhaps, is through repentance, to have a deeper sense of God's forgiveness and who we are and that we are God's beloved. Piety has a negative connotation in our time because so often it is thought of as self-absorption. But when we do the things we'll do tonight and throughout Lent, when we confess our sins and receive a mark of our mortality and repentance, we do this not for the sake of people to admire us, but out of a desire for renewed relationship with God. When we're doing this, our actions today can bring us a freedom that enables us to be for others. As Eugene March puts it, Ash Wednesday is an appropriate time to reflect again on what should be an inseparable relationship of inward repentance and outward actions with regard for the undoing and overcoming of the destructiveness worked by human sin within the human communities in which we live. That this day should be about the inseparable relationship of inward repentance and outward actions, so as to be about healing in the world. Let us pray. Almighty God, through love you have made us, and for love you call us to repentance. Grant that we who seek to mend our sinful ways may find strength in your compassion and forgiveness. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may serve you with willing hearts, bearing witness to your abundant mercy in all the world. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.